This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday the 19th of December, the last show before Christmas 2017.
Gosh, this time next week.
I know.
It'll be over.
It'll be over, thank goodness, for another year.
All that build up.
I know.
For one meal.
Yeah.
On one day of the year.
Well, two, really.
What, Christmas Day and Boxing Day?
Boxing Day, yeah.
It is. Aren't you going to the sales?
No.
You don't do all that?
No, I don't.
I've never, ever done that. I mean, what's it like?
I've been to a DFS sale, but you can go to them any day, can't you?
What's the whole, has anybody, talking to our studio guests, have you ever done the Boxing Day sales before?
I've never gone to anything. Boxing Day's another another Christmas Day all over
again. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
A jumble sale.
Yeah, oh no. But you've
got people sleeping outside next, probably, Boxing Day morning.
To get their colour TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Good. Cool. Good luck to them.
Yeah. Anyway, we've still got tweets coming in. We've had a tweet from Mr. Chris Hyde of Chameleogenics. Chris is actually the first guest on the first show of 2018 as well. Oh. Coming down from Lincoln to talk to us.
Gosh, is that Tuesday the 2nd?
Yeah.
Are you doing a show on the 2nd?
I am indeed, yeah. Anyway, Chris has said, hi, Paul and team. Can I have a shout out and wish all of you and all the Business Bunker listeners a Merry Christmas? Chris, of course you can. Do give Chris a follow. If you can spell his Twitter handle, the name of his company is Chameleogenics. That's Chameleogenics. Chameleogenics. So do give Chris a follow. And you can hear from Chris and find out all about what he does by joining us on the first show of 2018 on January the 2nd, where I'll be joined by Jill Serkin, if she ever gets welly boots for Christmas, and Chris Hyde. So do join us.
I'm looking for the tweet from Venom Tech, Paul.
All right.
Perhaps you can find it. But I believe if you're looking for a last-minute Christmas gift, they've got some spiders in frames, haven't they, that they're selling?
Yeah, I've got loads of tweets, so let me just... Oh, blimey. There's some funny... Yeah, here we go. Venom Tech, Business Bunker, have a great show, guys. We would love a shout-out to let people know that there's still time to get your unique Christmas gift. Wait for this. It's a framed spider skin display. You've got to see the picture because some of these spiders are like big. Yeah.
Tarantula size.
Yeah. Mexican red knee, all kinds. There's also a scorpion there by the looks of it. A framed spider skin display, £25 each. Please contact us, info@venomtech.co.uk for more details.
They're actually beautiful, aren't they? They are actually really nice.
They are, yeah.
How much are they?
£25, they're only £25.
I'm going to have one.
Do you want a spider down your stocking?
I can have one of those. Definitely.
Have a spider down your stocking, mate. That'll be good.
I'm going to put it in the loo, above the toilet.
Yeah, I would.
I've got one of those fish at the moment. Billy, is it Billy the Fish or something?
Oh, not one that sings.
And I'd like to know where you got the notion.
Is that what it sings?
And its tail.
Or is that the only song you know?
It's a salmon.
Yeah, okay. I used to have Billy the Fish. Yeah.
They're good fun.
They
were
so 1980s, that was.
Yeah. Well, I'm an 80s child.
Yeah. But yours is still up in your loo. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's about time you changed it. Get a spider up there, mate. Don't mess about.
Yes, I'm going to.
Stop messing about.
I like the sound of that.
Get a spider up there. That's
Can't
what you need.
I believe they're so cheap.
Yeah.
Tented and toilets have been on.
Yeah.
We're shouting out to you all at business hashtag BBunker. Merry Christmas from the loos and to all the posh loos out there. So that's your local loo, isn't it?
It's where I eat my kebabs in the evening.
Yeah, nice. It must be clean.
It's very clean. It's so clean I can eat my kebabs in there when it's raining.
It's not clean after you finish, though, your kebab, is it? I bet you've got cabbage all over
I'm not messing with my kebabs. I don't have extra garlic and sauce and salad.
Okay. Well, you just have the meat.
Yeah, yeah.
On its own.
Yeah, Zaffa's kebab van, which is by the toilets in Tenterton. I go out there and I have a large chicken kebab. No sauce, no salad.
He knows you, doesn't he? You walk up.
Yeah, and I pull no sauce, no salad. No, that's right. Just get the meat in that pita bread, mate. And then when it's raining, I pop into the loos because they're always so spick and span. They're so clean and so tight. They won an award, you know.
Weren't they out in Milan or somewhere? I mean, it was high couture toilet kind of award time, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah. They won a massive award for the cleanliness of their toilets.
Fantastic.
Yeah, top bogging.
Great work.
Yeah.
Top bogging.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not tobogging.
No, not tobogging.
In the snow.
Yeah, yeah.
Top bogging.
Top bogging. Right, okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's a new hashtag.
There's loads of people putting pictures of beards up as well. I'm not sure what this is all about. Strive for Five. It's got people. That's a beard. They must have things living in that. It's Russell Goldsmith has started this. Russell's growing a beard for Bid Simba or whatever it is. Yeah.
I don't know. I've got one permanently.
Yeah, no. He's raising money for bowel cancer. Mm. And he's got an impressive set of whiskers there.
Well, we should give Peter Allen a shout out for that as well.
Yeah, he's been growing a beard, hasn't he?
In the office next door to us.
It's starting to come through now as well. He's only been doing it a month or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, while we're at it, let's give a shout out to all our friends.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
So, Denise Wilton.
Yep.
At Denise Wilton on the Twitter.
Or the Milan Focus.
Yeah. So, hi, Denise. I hope you're listening at some point. Tracy Ferguson.
Well, funnily enough, I've just had a tweet from Tracy. Oh. She says, hi, Vanilla Webb and Martin Paul White.
Oh.
Can I have a huge business uncle shout out, please, for you and all my supporters in 2017? What an amazing year. This quote sums up what success means to me, and I've never been happier supporting people in our community to become the best. And there's a quote she's put there from Tracy Ferguson Coaching. Success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it.
Ooh.
So thank you for that, Tracy.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of spending an evening with Tracy.
I saw the pictures.
And Jackie often at Jackie's pantomime birthday party at the Marlowe recently.
Absolutely.
Which was fantastic. So, really, really good night.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
What's that behind you? But what a great panto. And actually, they're halfway through. The Marlowe were tweeting yesterday. They're halfway through their panto season this year. So if you fancy a panto between Christmas and New Year, panto.
Right.
Get yourselves off to the Marlowe. It is brilliant. It's Barry from EastEnders.
I know.
And Mrs. Smee is hilarious. What a character.
Is he?
No, she.
Hey.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Don't be gender specific. There's a good boy. You get yourself banned from social media like that.
Isn't it time we got a guest on?
It is, but right. I just want to read one more tweet we talk to the lovely Sarah.
All right.
Yeah, from WIB, Women in Business, Medway and North. And they say, hi, please, Paul, could we have a shout out? We'd like to wish everyone listening in Kent a very Merry Xmas. Our first meeting in 2018 is on the 3rd of January at 6:45 p.m. Please add us to your round robin. Have a great show. Hold on. Oh, we got all carried away. That's what they say. Yeah.
All unnecessary.
Yeah, they got all unnecessary. Hey, listen, go and find out about WIB, Medway and North at their next meeting on the 3rd of January at 6:45. They haven't said where it is. I'm taking a big punt and a guess that it's probably at the Innovation Centre in Medway.
You used to go to those, didn't you, before you and Amanda got together? You used to invite yourselves along to all the women networking.
All the women in business.
You don't go anymore, though. I wonder why that is.
My favourite one was the Kent Women in Business Awards.
Yeah.
Me and 400 women for the evening. Yeah. That was a bit of a laugh.
Excellent.
Nah, I'm not allowed anymore. Mm. Never mind.
Your serial flirting days are well behind you.
Yes, they are. Mm. Yes.
Say no more.
Cool. I'll tell you what. Why don't we actually talk to someone sensible?
Yes.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Sarah Bellhouse from Nikko Office Systems to our bunker.
Thank you for having me.
Sarah, it's an absolute pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about Sarah, and then we can talk a little bit about your business, and then we can talk about some contract stuff and leases and things like that. Because we have a very interesting blog, what you guys wrote, about such things, which has really resonated with a lot of people. But let's start off by talking about Sarah first. Tell us a little bit about Sarah.
I'm Sarah from Nikko Office Limited. We started a family-run business that just over 22 years now.
She doesn't look old enough, does she?
I know.
My 40th birthday next year. So a big year next year.
She started as a child.
I did, straight from school.
Absolutely.
I'm married with two children. Daughter Rebecca, who's 13, and a son, James, who's 10. And my husband and I run a business. We just moved near Brands Hatch in Ash.
Okay.
Brands Hatch. And we do anything really from photocopiers, printers, fax machines. We do all the servicing. We supply all the consumables for them, and we also have engineers that service them as well.
You sell the machines too?
Yes, all the multifunction machines, all desktop printers.
Right.
We do mainly business to business, so that's any business really, from sort of, you know, a person working at home that may need a little desktop printer, right up to schools, colleges, councils, big offices.
Because the whole printing thing has got a bit kind of weird, hasn't it? Because now you can buy printers for next to nothing. and the ink cartridges cost more than the printer.
Yeah. And that's the problem we have, and unfortunately they've all become a bit disposable now.
So yeah.
You can, yes, you can buy a printer for probably £25-30, but the ink cartridges cost double that to run the machine.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You tend to find, sort of as a general rule, that the more expensive the machine is to purchase, the cheaper they are to run, because they become more business machines.
Yeah, for the office. And they're more useful with the ink.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I got a home printer that you put a 30 quid print cartridge in.
200 pages.
Yeah, you print a page and it runs out of ink. Blimey.
Especially with children doing their homework as well.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, can I just print this off? Oh, no. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, and sorry, tell me again, how long have you been in business?
Just over 20 years. So 22 years since 1995.
Fantastic, so, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty good. And in that period of time, I guess you've seen lots of changes in the industry too.
We have seen a lot of changes. Mainly it was a lot of fax machines. Back when we first started, everyone was buying the fax machines, and they were thousands of pounds to purchase. And obviously now, with the internet, email, there's not so many fax machines out there. Still a lot of solicitors still do use the fax machines.
They do, don't they? And it's like, I don't know if you ever watched the football transfer centre on transfer deadline day. They all still pretend that they're sending faxes. Of course, they're never going to send faxes. There's no way that they're going to send faxes. But lawyers do, don't they?
Yeah, and also when we first started as well, there wasn't as much colour. It was mainly people just printing in mono. So it's a lot of the desktop printers, like the laser printers, and even the inkjet machines. And then obviously over the years, the multifunction machines have come more online. So that's like your big A3, A4 print, scan, copy machines that are in the bigger offices, where you used to have a lot of offices that maybe have the odd printer on the desk everywhere for people to print to, but now they generally have maybe one or two bigger multifunction machines that everybody prints to because the facilities on them are much more superior than that of a desktop printer.
Absolutely. I'm going to show my age now. Many, many years ago, I worked for Citibank, the American bank, in technology, and we bought a colour printer. It was the first colour printer in the building. 9,000 quid. I'm talking 1979, this was 9,000 quid for this colour printer. And everybody from the whole building came to look to watch it print a page of colour printing, which took about 15 minutes.
Come on a long way since then.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. You wrote a blog recently about photocopier leases and things like that, which is still one of those areas that catches out lots of small businesses, isn't it? It catches out lots of people, but it especially hurts small businesses.
Yeah.
Do you want to go over some of the issues that you raise with that? Because I think it's a really important thing to talk about.
I mean, obviously, a lot of businesses that are looking for multifunction machines, it's not necessarily their area of expertise when going to purchase a new piece of equipment, so they rely probably on the salesperson that's coming in to sell them the equipment.
Yeah.
We tend to find in a lot of businesses, the salesman will sell the machine to the client, and then once they've sold the machine, it's then handed on to the engineers to look after the machine. Mm. But there's been a lot of talk recently where people are signed into big leases. Mm. So a piece of equipment that may cost, say, a couple of £1,000, the client may end up paying double, triple, if not more, over a period of time. Mm. And what you tend to find happen as well is that sometimes the copier companies will go back in to a company after they've put them on a five-year lease, but go back in after 2 or 3 years to try and re-lease them again a new machine.
Mm.
And really all they're doing is upselling another machine, and then a bit like your mortgage, putting it over a longer period of time, but you haven't actually paid off the first machine.
Yeah.
And so they sort of roll it up into the next lease, and then you're tied in for another 5 years.
Yeah.
And also with the service agreements usually run where you're charged a cost per copy.
I was going to say, people lease these machines and then get amazed that they're charged per copy as well.
Yeah, and the cost per copy is for the actual general day-to-day running of the machine. So the cost per copy would include all your toner, all your servicing, all your engineer time, all your spare parts. But what tends to happen is when you sign up for the agreement, you agree the price, but by year two, in the terms and conditions, it increases by a certain percentage, and then it increases again on year three and year four and year five. And by the time you get to the end of your agreement after 5 years, what seemed quite a good price at the beginning is suddenly double. A lot of copier companies, they're very quick at saying, well, you're actually tied into that contract, and therefore, you know, the only way you can get out of it is if we re-lease you another machine and then put the lease over again. So just our advice would be, really, is even as boring as it is, to have a look at the terms and conditions and just make sure that what you know what you're getting. And also as well to have a chat with the engineers, because they're the people that see what you're doing. The amount of times we get an engineer that's called in to look at a copier, and the people say, oh no, the salesman that sold it to us from another company, they've promised us that it will print, I know, 300 GSM card. You think that machine's never going to do it. But so it's good to speak to the engineers as well, because they're realistic in what the machines can do.
Absolutely.
As to what the client requirements are.
So how are you guys different then, Sarah? I mean, do you try and avoid tying people into leasehold contracts, or do you prefer to work with your customers on a kind of pay-as-you-go, kind of monthly fixed cost basis? I mean, how does it work with you guys, for example?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different options and different ways of doing it. Some people prefer just to purchase their machine rather than put it on a lease where they're committed to over a certain period of time. And with the service agreements as well, we can be quite flexible. A lot of other companies, they'll go in and say, you know, we've looked at your usage, you're doing, say, 1,000 prints a month. We'll tie all that up into your lease as well, and you're paying for prints that you haven't used yet. Where I think a lot of people nowadays, they don't want to be committed to long contracts or long-term things. You know, we allow people just to pay for what they're using. So if they're quiet at Christmas or in the summer, if they're shut, or the business is not as busy as it could be and they're not printing, they're not paying for a facility or service they're not having.
So you pay like a monthly rental, and then you pay a variable cost based on what you've actually used in the month as well?
Yeah,
is that how it can work?
There's lots of different things. I mean, either they purchase the machine or they may want to lease the machine. But it's not necessarily about the way they actually have the piece of equipment. It's that they know what they're entering into.
Right.
You know, often people, we offer a service where, you know, people are, you know, send us their service contracts. Not necessarily that they'll change from the provider that they're with, but just that we can say, well, did you know you're committed to this?
Right.
And just to sort of open their eyes as to what they've signed up for and what their commitments are.
This is a horrible question. No. It's horrible because there's, you know, you will tell me, well, it's an individual thing. But I mean, it strikes. What is the rationale for leasing equipment like that? I mean, maybe we could bring Chris into this as an accountant, because there could be some capital allowances and amortization and all that kind of nonsense that you have to take into account. But what, you know, years ago, you used to lease a big photocopier, for instance, like a big Xerox photocopier, because they cost 20 grand to buy. Yeah, so most small businesses couldn't afford to buy one, so you lease one. But it strikes me that a lot of digital technology is much cheaper these days.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I mean, obviously, it depends in what sort of machine the client wants and the situation. And sometimes, you know, some of the A3, A4 print, scan, copy machine, they can be a couple of £1,000, if not more, depending on the print speed. If you want extras on them, like finishers, stapling units, hole punches, and things like that. And some companies don't have the initial outlay to buy the machine,
sure.
Therefore they do lease them. But once you put them on a lease, that is a commitment of a lease. You know, the lease is usually taken quarterly by direct debit, and once you've signed up to that 5-year lease, you are committed to that lease. So if you want to get out of your lease earlier, you do have to look at what the settlement figure is, and that is what is happening. People want to get out of their lease earlier, but then they've still got, you know, say £2,000-£3,000 left on their lease, and they're adding that to the cost of their Knox copier and then releasing that again over another 5 years. So you're not really getting a true cost, but obviously Chris would probably know more from the accountant point aside.
Well, maybe we'll bring Chris in on that. I'll just at Fruitworks, which I was talking about earlier, which is a community workspace, we had some people that moved in to take some office space with us, you know, as a community space. And they said, oh, we've got this photocopier that we lease. We don't ever use it because we can't afford the copies, but we can't get out of it, so we're paying a lease. Can we just put it in the corner, please? And we actually use it as a coffee table. There's just a cloth over it, and we use it as a coffee table, but they're still paying the lease on it. And Chris, as an accountant, I mean, what kind of things should we look at when we're buying capital equipment or leasing capital equipment like that?
Well, there's two things really to think about. One is there will be different tax treatments on the way that you buy them, but also really what your company cash flow can manage.
Yeah.
So that would probably be my first consideration.
It's as Sarah said, really, isn't it? Whether you can afford to actually the cost of buying the equipment, or whether you do have to lease it. Yeah.
So if you can buy it outright, you're going to get much more accelerated tax relief on it.
Yeah.
So that would be better than leasing it. But it's all really down to what your company cash flow
what you can afford
can manage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not so much the leasing or actually having the machine there, it's how you're going to run the machine as well, with your cost per copy and your servicing. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, we just want to buy the toner for it, but in some of these machines now it's not just toner, they take drum units, developer units, transfer belts, fuser units, and they
it's really complex,
and
isn't
hundreds
it?
Of pounds.
You can land one on the moon.
Well, I mean, I went to see Sarah recently at their offices in Ash, And digital technology is such now that actually, if you've got a digital machine in your office, Nico can actually dial into that machine from a computer and actually work out what the problem is. And what they've also got is a kind of a traffic light system whereby Nico will deliver toners and cartridges and all that kind of stuff that runs out ultimately before you even know it's going to run out.
Just in time delivery.
Yeah, which is brilliant, isn't it? So you never actually have any downtime or a problem because it's there before you even need it.
Absolutely.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit of software that sits on a local PC or the server, and it notifies us of how many pages or copies are being done and also when the toner's running low, because there shouldn't ever be a situation that a client runs out of toner and they've not have a spare one to put in. So we always make sure that the toners, they're ready to go in the machine.
I can vouch for that service because I use Nico Office, and it's wonderful that you get somebody turning up with more toner when you don't even know you need it.
Right.
They're monitoring it all the time.
Yeah.
The service is really fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mine at home always runs out the day before I've got to get on a plane somewhere.
Yeah.
And I've got to print a boarding pass out or something. You know.
My printer does exactly the same. It runs out of ink when I've got 10 minutes to go and I need to print 20 documents. It always does.
Always the black.
No, it's always the one I haven't got.
Okay.
Yeah, it's always the one I haven't got.
Sometimes now, even if you run out of black, it won't let you print in any colour at all.
Exactly, yeah, that's the biggest thing. And yeah, I change all of my documents into blue and it still won't print in. Yeah.
So just going back to how you like to work with clients then and this kind of transparency thing, because that's what we're talking about here, isn't it? We're talking about unscrupulous providers not necessarily alerting their client as to, you know, what they're getting themselves into ultimately when they're signing a new lease or when they're even taking out an initial lease. So how do you kind of like to put all your cards on the table, as it were, so that somebody actually knows what the best option is for them? Do you just give them all the options and say these are the pros and cons of each one, as opposed to trying to kind of smoke screen through some of it?
No, what we like to do is we don't have salespeople that actually go out to offices where a lot of other companies do. And from a salesperson's point of view, obviously, you know, they usually work on a commission. They're there to sell the machine, and then it's passed on to the engineering department. We usually send an engineer out, actually, just to chat to the client to see what it is that they require from that machine. So from the actual machine going in, we know we've got the right spec of machine for them, or they're welcome to come into our offices to have a look at the machines. We also send them test prints out from the machine so they can see the quality as well. And then we will give them the options. I mean, you know, everybody sort of really knows you don't get anything for nothing nowadays. Mm. You know, there's the best one in the world for everyone saying free prints, free this, free that. Mm. So we sort of say, you know, this is the cost of the machine. Mm-hmm. This is the cost if you lease it. This is the cost if you buy it. Mm-hmm. This is how long the agreement would be, or if you want to do it on a month to month so they're not tied in. Mm-hmm. This is what your costs are. There's no hidden increase after 12 months that you're not aware about. Mm-hmm. So that they've got everything that they need on the table. I think the shock comes is when they've signed up with a company, whichever company it may be, I suppose with whatever product or service, and after 12 months or when you get an issue, you go back to that company and they sort of say, well, no, that's in your contract, but your salesperson didn't tell me that. Right. Oh, he doesn't work here anymore.
So you haven't budgeted for that cost.
Yeah, and it is a big cost. And a lot of companies do rely on it, especially I think the schools and colleges and charities and associations, you know, that need the facility, and what they think they've signed up to 3 years down the line is costing them 2-3 times, and they're having to outsource their printing because they can't afford to use the machine, and the company are not very forthcoming in, you know, sometimes.
Well, I use it as a coffee table.
Yeah, like you are now.
But I like that, the idea that an engineer comes out because he's there to audit your business requirement from a kind of a nuts and bolts point of view.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a Rolls Royce if, you know, a Ford Transit will do, sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. No, so absolutely.
That's a sensible place to start, isn't it?
No, absolutely. I love that. Sarah, we could talk about this for a long time.
Thank you.
But sadly, we kind of come to the end of that segment. If if people want to find out more about Nico Office Systems, what's the best way to find out about you?
Our contact phone numbers.
Yeah. We are going to get a Twitterified. Yeah. Sarah Bellhouse, Nico Office Systems, thank you so much for being on the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you, and we really love what you're doing, helping people with their print and digital needs. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
it's
Sarah.
It's brilliant. We've still got tweets, we've still got emails, and we've still got one more fantastic guest to speak to. We've had a tweet from Caroline and Liz, the Organic Sisters. I nearly get that wrong every time. organic. Organic Sisters, Riverford underscore Kent is their Twitter handle. And they say a very Merry Christmas and a healthy New Year 2018 from all at the business, to all at the Business Bunker, from Caroline and Liz, the Organic Sisters, deliverers of organic food and drink to the southeast of England.
Ben Leach, we mentioned Ben
earlier. We did mention Ben
earlier. He's saying, still time to book on to our first academy starting in January. So that's Ben's IT Academy in Maidstone. Hi, Ben. Thanks for listening.
Oh, look, we've had a tweet from the tree botherer, HR Services and Support. Merry Christmas to everyone at the Business Bunker.
Is that the gorgeous Fiona?
It's the lovely Fiona Stevens. Yeah. Fiona, Princess Fiona.
Hey.
Yeah, listening in the office, she is, in London.
Your accent's terrible.
What, Princess Fiona?
Your Scottish accent is awful.
That's Shrek, isn't it?
Shrek, isn't it?
Princess Fiona's Michael Myers' accent, that is.
And what did she say? Go on.
I just told you, a Merry Christmas to everyone who's tuned in. We're listening in our London office.
Right.
So thank you, Fiona, and it's lovely to hear from you. Mm-hmm. The Networkers Networking Event is a full-day event that is all about networking, helping business owners to be more productive with their time and to make great connections. Set in a stunning location of Eastwell Manor in Ashford on Thursday, the 8th of February, 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. At each event this year, we will have a keyword, an area that we are going to focus on that will help you with your networking and ultimately your business. The keyword for the next event is collaboration. There are three great speakers, eight of the best networking mastermind groups in Kent, and lots of other great business owners to meet, network with, and possibly collaborate with. We will also have an Ask You Expert session, so that you can have a chance to ask any questions you may have that will help you improve your networking, making it more effective. The Networkers Networking Event is suitable for you if you've just started networking and are unsure of where to go or how to do it effectively. You network already but are frustrated because it's not working for you. You're a serial networker who loves networking and don't want to miss another great opportunity. The Networkers Networking Event is an all-day event. You're welcome to join us for as long as you want. If you can't stay all day, just book without lunch. The tickets are £20 to attend the event with refreshment but no lunch, £30 to attend the event with refreshment and lunch. There's an early bird booking. If you book before the 21st of January and pay, it's only £17 without lunch or £26 with lunch. To do all of that, go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE. I will be there. I went to the last one at the Kenwood Trust, as you mentioned earlier. It was absolutely fantastic. It was a really brilliant event and loads of great feedback, really good venues that these are held in. And basically, you can meet all the major networking groups in one place. So you don't have to go to loads of networking events. They're all going to come to you. What's not to like? Mm. Get along.
Haven't you got a new initiative getting off the ground in the new year as well? Biz Collaboration.
We have indeed.
Do you want to talk about that?
Not a lot, because we haven't got a lot of to talk
about.
Well,
give us a quick taster.
Yeah, basically, we're going to be having a launch event at Portland Hotel in February, probably February the 22nd. We are just about to announce the booking. Basically, we're launching a club for early stage startup, new businesses, or businesses that want to grow to the next level. And the only way I can describe this, it's a bit of business 101. As we were talking with Chris earlier, there are fundamentals in business that people really do poorly, such as managing their cash flow, sales, and other things like that. So what we're trying to do is some what we've called tough love. Yeah, we're going to look at your business and really tell you to stop messing about and get on with doing X, Y, and Z. Because so many people mess around what they're supposed to be doing by trying to avoid the things they don't like. But it's the things they don't like that they need to do to grow their business. So that's the major premise.
So people are going to pay you lots of money to get beaten up on
the
day.
Fairly much, yeah. Yeah, good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
So it's a bit like sort of Fight Club for business.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
Yeah. No game without pain.
Yeah, exactly.
And Brad Pitt, will he be there?
Yeah, oh, yeah, we'll all be there, Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we look forward to that.
Yeah.
More to come in the new year then.
Absolutely.
Just very quickly, Cane and Beer. Yep. Paul Cane, been on the show before.
He has indeed.
Runs a very, very popular Cane and Beer, Curry and Beer, networking
evening. I see what he did there.
at the Costuri restaurant in Hayes. It's on the 25th of January, the next one. So we'll all be kind of getting over the Christmas hangover, hopefully, by that point. Usually starts at 6 o'clock. It's £25. Very easy to book on, info@canenbeer.co.uk. Look forward to seeing you there.
Fantastic. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome back, after a very long interlude, we were discussing this off air earlier. It's a very a great pleasure to welcome back Mr. Simon Morgan of HR Department. Simon, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
To the Business Bunker Show. You appeared, it must be 4 or 5 years ago now.
I think it's as long as 7, actually.
Yeah, it could well be, yeah. We've been going 9 years, so yeah, no, you're probably right. We were probably ensconced in the back of the disco shop. We're at the back of a shop that sold disco lights, would you believe, in New Romney High Street when Simon last came on, so that must be a good 7 years ago. So welcome back. It's been far too long.
I'm amazed you can remember it.
Yeah, it's been far too long. So do welcome back. Welcome back to you, Simon. Do tell us a little bit about you, for those that don't remember your last appearance.
Yeah, well, 10 years ago, actually, I basically set up the HR department in South East London and North Kent. And I joined up with a national network of HR professionals, and we all use the brand, the HR department, and we provide support to small and medium-sized employers in our respective areas. So it is effectively a franchise. I've never looked back, really. 10 years ago, it was quite a big decision, sort of leaving the world of corporate HR. Could have become maybe an independent HR consultant, but wanted to go in with a bigger network and get the benefit of their support. And I can offer products and services I wouldn't otherwise be able to offer. For example, tribunal insurance to back up the advice I give employers. I've grown the business steadily, I suppose, over the last 10 years. And now moved into Base Point Dartford, which was mentioned a while ago, and recruited somebody to help me as well.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting how well engineered this radio show is and how everything seamlessly fits together. Uh-huh. Because what you're saying here is, you know, the Networkers Networking event is about, the key word is collaboration. The Collaboration Club is about to launch. And what you've kind of just highlighted is the fact that you have this franchise type operation allows you to collaborate on different things that as an independent you wouldn't have been able to provide on your own.
Absolutely, and there is genuine collaboration as well. You might think there would be perhaps competition, but we all have our designated areas, if you like. And
when you say designated areas, are you talking geographically?
Areas, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I mean, mine broadly is Greenwich, Bexley, Gravesend and Dartford, so I'm up sort of north, but I do come into Kent, because actually up until about a couple of weeks ago, we never had anyone else from the HR department in Kent. We have actually now just recruited somebody in Sevenoaks.
Right, okay.
So maybe she'll be on your show.
Absolutely.
In due course.
Absolutely.
But the great thing is, you know, we meet up regularly. We have just had our annual conference, for example. We get good speakers, and we attend various events and sort of learn from each other, really, exchange ideas, and obviously share some of the problems as well that that we have.
So let's kind of step through this. You tend to specialise in small and medium-sized businesses, embarking probably on employing people for the first time?
Yes, sometimes. I suppose it's fairly rare for a brand new startup to think that they might need HR support, but actually it does happen. And I have got a couple of clients who literally have one member of staff. And that's great because, you know, they want to put all the building blocks in place, policies and procedures.
But it's absolutely true, isn't it? You know, when you start, that's the point when you put these things in place, not when it's too late.
Exactly, more typically, an employer will maybe come to me when they've got more staff, maybe 10, 15, something like that, and they've probably got a problem of some kind as well. And hopefully I can help them with that. And then sometimes they will then sign up for a contract. And the most that people have is an annual contract. But we have a pretty good track record in keeping our clients. In fact, one of them sitting next to me.
We found definitely by using Simon in the HR department, you know, we probably not big enough to have a full-time member of staff as an HR, but it's absolutely been brilliant because you have all the resources that Simon has to, you know, Simon's always on hand to help with contracts, employment, handbooks, any issues may arise, or even, you know, it's just pick the phone up for you know, the odd question, or, you know, a staff member may have asked me something, I think, oh, I don't really know what to say or how to deal with it. Simon's sort of always at the end of the phone or email to come back.
Absolutely.
So. There's a common theme here as well, because I think you guys do business very, you know, very similarly in the first instance, because Simon will go in free of charge and he'll look at, you know, your systems and processes that are already in the business. And he'll say, right, you know, you ought to have an employee handbook. You ought to have, you know, contracts of employment, for example, all those kinds of things that people may not be aware of, you know, their obligation to provide in the first instance.
Like an internet usage policy, that kind of thing.
All anything like that. So, you know, what a great place to start.
Absolutely.
You know?
Funnily enough, I mean, I've got around about 50 people, well, I don't always know, about 50 people, but I use an outsourced HR provider. Okay. Because I just think it works better than having an in-house resource, for exactly the reason that Simon just said, because they, like you, have access to a wider range of specialist skills and specialist support and specialist help that you couldn't reproduce effectively, cost-effectively, in-house.
No. Yes, I mean, I don't probably call upon other colleagues that much. It is mostly myself and the member of staff I have now working with me as my HR manager. But you know, some of the services I can provide, I mean, I wouldn't be able to offer tribunal insurance without being part of a wider network. I wouldn't be able to offer an employee online record system without being a member of the HR department, and other things as well, employee benefits and employee assistance programs and things like that, that some organisations would really benefit.
Well, tribunal insurance is interesting, isn't it? Interesting case in point, because they've just waived the fees for that, for bringing a tribunal, haven't they?
Absolutely. In July this year, they abolished tribunal fees, which have been in place for 4 years, and the number of tribunal claims actually decreased dramatically, not surprisingly, 70%. The fees were set very high. You had to pay £1,200 to basically make a claim. And Unison persisted with their challenge and went through various courts, and eventually the Supreme Court actually held that they were unlawful. So what's happened now, of course, is that we've seen an immediate increase in the number of tribunal claims. And I'm not joking, but in the last 2 months, up by 64%.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
2 months.
So employers, you know, have perhaps been able to become maybe a bit complacent maybe over the last 4 years, thinking, well, it's unlikely that, you know, we'll be challenged in the tribunal.
Yeah.
Now they're having to rethink that.
Right.
So
absolutely.
It's a good time now to be thinking about, you know, what protection they have in place.
And, of course, for all the nonsense about the law and Unison going through this, nobody ever bothers about the other side, the fact that, you know, you can win a tribunal and it still costs you money. You know, it's one of the only court places where you just don't get anything back if you're innocent.
And the legal expenses can be significant.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it pays to have an insurance policy in place.
And more than that, obviously, to do the due diligence in the first place, so that, you know, if you do unfortunately end up at an employment tribunal, actually, you know, you're going to win your case because you followed Simon's advice in the first place, and, you know, it will just be dismissed.
Absolutely.
And that's the FSB provide a similar product for tax investigations,
yeah,
you know,
exactly,
as part of your FSB membership.
Yeah,
why on earth would you not have the peace of mind of having an insurance policy like that in place to cover you should the unthinkable happen?
So, Simon, again, I know this is a difficult question, the same way it was for Sarah, but do you find that people use you in a specific way? You know, is there one kind of thing that people kind of engage you for and say, look, we need help with this? Is there a start point that people do?
Yeah, usually.
They're going to tribunal.
They have a staffing issue, a difficult employee, or they have to make a difficult decision or hold a difficult conversation, and they're not quite sure how to go about that.
Right.
And they don't want to end up in a tribunal. To be fair, as we've just said, you know, you can have insurance in place, which gives you the peace of mind, but nobody really wants to go to a tribunal. There's a lot of stress involved, masses of time, management effort, and cost, even though, you know, you've got the insurance policy. So they'd rather deal with somebody like myself, perhaps an HR expert, who'll handle it or help them handle it properly and keep them out of a tribunal. And that's really what I do a lot of. I mean, a lot of what I do is reacting to issues and maybe helping people through disciplinary grievance issues and things like that. It would be nice if it was more proactive, perhaps. But the other,
well, you do run your workshops, though, don't
yes,
you?
Yes.
So that is a very proactive
approach
to tackling it.
We want to try and genuinely be the HR department, that's the name, for that business. So providing them with everything they might expect if they had their own HR department. And that includes training. One of the areas I think that is weak within the SME sector particularly is managers and how confident they feel and how skilled they are in dealing with staff, particularly difficult issues. A lot of them won't have had any training. You know, if you work for a big organisation, you know, you'll probably be sent on loads of management training courses, but not typically in SMEs. So we've been running some recently, and that's been very good. In fact, you mentioned a couple of companies earlier, All Health Matters and Bell's Accountants, and they both sent people on our training courses that we ran recently. We're going to continue to run those next year.
You've just done a discipline and grievance one, haven't you?
Managing discipline and grievances. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Does that mean you're hopefully now not going to see a flood of discipline and grievance cases following Christmas party season?
Especially grievances, because you definitely don't want to have people raising issues with you because you perhaps haven't been, you know, they haven't been able to pursue them in any other way, or you know, you haven't resolved any issues there. But discipline, well, you'll always have disciplinary issues.
Absolutely. Funny, while you're talking about that and how everything ties in again with the Christmas party, because once upon a time, Sarah, I saw a statistic that said more damage was done to photocopiers at Christmas than any other time, with people sitting on them and photocopying their bum.
Yes, well, I was in danger of having to drop out today, of course, because of dealing with the fallout from all the Christmas parties last week. But actually, no, it's been okay. But in the past, certainly, I've had issues where, you know, staff have had too much to drink and they've slagged each other off, you know, in public.
Fights, I mean, all sorts.
Fights in the gutter.
Horrible.
And all that sort of thing. And, you know, yes, occasionally you don't get. And there are ways you can protect yourself. But
Chris,
I think,
is keeping very quiet over there. And he had the riff Christmas party last week.
He's trying to remember what happened.
We were informed beforehand what we were allowed and what we were not allowed.
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Well, that's good policy, isn't it?
Well, that's a very interesting point, isn't it?
It's done in a very good way, actually.
Of course.
It was clear what was acceptable and what wasn't. Mm. It was done in a kind of almost tongue-in-cheek way. Risk recovered.
It's sensible, and it helps to protect you as an employer as well. If you're providing a work-related event like that party, if things go wrong, you could potentially be held what they call vicariously liable for actions of your employees. So, as you say, some common sense guidelines issued beforehand is often a very good idea.
Absolutely. I mean, and in this day and age, especially now with inappropriate flirtation. Can I put it like that?
Sexual harassment, you mean?
That's the chap, yeah.
Don't try and beat around the bush, ball. grope people anymore at Christmas parties.
Damn.
This also is banned.
Yeah, exactly. But it is a fine line sometimes, you know, and people overstep the mark, and that's when it becomes harassment and worse.
Is it fair to say that people are more informed today as well in terms of where that line is, and therefore, you know, they're prepared to kind of, you know, stand up and kind of make noise about it, you know, if they feel that they're at the wrong end of something like that? Are people generally more aware of their rights on that level?
I think more so after the last 3 months or so. I think the recent actions that we've seen, you know, publicised quite heavily.
But you're talking about our local MPs again.
I was thinking of Hollywood, actually. You do mean, you could bring it down to other things as well. But I think that's raised the profile. And I think, obviously, more people are now coming forward, feeling that they can do. Is it generally now known what's acceptable and unacceptable? I think so, yes. But it doesn't mean that it's still not happening, and there are still particular businesses where, you know, it's still prevalent.
Especially with parties and alcohol. You know, that's when it all falls apart, isn't it? When people have had too much to drink.
Let's look at the kind of the other side of it. Let's look at it from an employer managing their employees. I mean, I used to work in an industry where there was a kind of a blatant abuse of any kind of employment law, full stop. And, you know, businesses felt that they could routinely hire and fire people, you know, based on their desire to do so. And I, you know, I was on the wrong end of that a couple of times when I worked in London.
Not surprised.
But, you know, the point being there that, you know, I can't imagine that today that that still happens. Do people, do employers still think that they can fire people that have been with the business for, you know, well, more than 2 years now is the current, I think, the benchmark. Does that still happen? Are you still having to kind of deal with that?
It happens less often, but there are still cases where, as you say, after 2 years, because you've then got the protection of employment law, you can actually challenge a decision at a tribunal for, say, unfair dismissal. You know, you are going to get still people wanting to terminate, though, and you think, well, often, you know, they've taken them that long to work out that the person, you know, isn't going to work out there or something, or maybe things have changed, you know, or maybe the individual's changed. So there is a mechanism for actually bringing a contract to an end now without going through a procedure, and you can do that via a settlement agreement,
right,
which is a very effective way, actually, often of ending an employment relationship quite amicably. And it typically happens at senior level as well, where, you know, nothing's ever been said really formally, exactly, anyway, about someone's performance, or, you know, if you're a director or something like that. And yet you end up concluding, if you like, at some, you know, eventually that person's no longer going to be, you know, shouldn't be working in your business. So that's the way you can do it. And it doesn't mean that you'll always end up with an agreement, but it quite often does result in that. But yes, people do often shy away from taking action, talking to people, what they want them to do differently, that sort of thing, and then end up very frustrated that nothing's changed, and they then have to get rid of somebody. You wonder sometimes if things had been done differently in the past, they wouldn't be in that situation.
Absolutely. Look, we could talk about this for a long, long time, but sadly we've kind of run out of time, Simon. Thank you so much for joining us once again. If people want to find out more about the work you do and want to, you know, talk to you more, how can they do that?
Okay. Well, the company's called HR Department, www.hrdept.co.uk, and then you can search for South East London and North Kent.
There's actually a link on the Kent Business Radio website directly to the South East.
Thank you very much, yeah, and also on Supply My Business as well. And my Twitter handle is at HR Rescuer.
At HR Rescuer. Yeah.
And Simon's publishing really useful content the whole time on LinkedIn as well. You know, all of your kind of useful guidance on discipline, grievance procedure, all of that stuff. So, yeah, keep a lookout for
it. Next year's going to be quite a busy year with data protection changes.
Yes, and, GDPR and everything
more
else.
More employment tribunals.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we haven't mentioned Brexit once yet.
No. We're trying to avoid that. Yeah. We're trying to avoid that.
Well, that's because we're out, but we're still in, by the sounds
of it. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, thank you so much, Simon. That's really good. We're at the end of another show. Just to remind you that you can join us on the Business Bunker Extra Show this Friday, presented by the lovely Amanda Flanders. It's at 11 o'clock on Friday, and the guests are Gemma Fairclough-Haynes and me. So we're having a little Christmas party on air, and we're going to be talking about 2018. We're going to be debating goals and plans and systems and strategies and having a bit of a laugh, I suspect. So do join us on the Business Bunker Extra Show on Friday at 11. You want to say something?
Jules, we haven't mentioned Jules all
day. I've been trying to avoid mentioning
Jules. She started off with a kind of fairly innocent tweet this morning about her boots and how she wants a new pair of hunters for Christmas. Yeah. And it happened to show a little bit of leg there with a purple stocking.
With a pantyhose.
Yeah. And now we've got another lady who's joined in the conversation, and she's tweeting a pair of legs with some hold-ups.
Blimey.
So I don't quite know where this is going to end up, but Jules, you've done it again.
It's looking exciting. Let's put it that way.
Happy Christmas to you.
Cool. Anyway, look, I just want to say, wishing you all out there a very, very Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy and successful 2018 from all of us here at the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with the first show of next year. What?
I think you're in danger of...
I've got 2 minutes before the end of the show.
I've got five on my watch. Is it running slow?
No, we end at 57.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry about that interruption. We will be back with the first show of 2018 on January the 2nd. And our guest on that show will be Chris Hyde of Chameleogenics. And also our co-host will be the famous Jill Serkin, so she can inform us about her pantyhose.
You don't really expect her to make that
debacle.
You?
No,
the day after New Year's Day.
She'll still be hungover, which is going to be a laugh. That's why I've got her on. Anyway, coming up on Channel Radio for the rest of today, at 4 o'clock here on Channel Radio 2, we have the lovely Natalie Beneig with the Kent Creative Show. And today her guests are printmaker Ruth McDonald and potter Julian Kent. And they're on the Kent Creative Show at 4 o'clock today, and they will be talking about their practices and techniques. So do listen to that. It's a fabulous show, as I say, presented by Natalie Beneig. And then we swap over to Channel Radio 1 at 5 o'clock for the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, for 2 hours of celebrity interviews and music on the Craig Avery Show from 5 until 7. At 7 o'clock, we have the Joey Wheeler Rockabilly Show. And then at 8 o'clock, you can listen to me and this lot all over again, because it's the Business Bunker repeat here on Channel Radio 2 with Chris and Sarah and Simon and Martin. So that's from 8 till 10. And then, of course, as always on a Tuesday, we finish up with... Whoops.
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Cool drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always on a Tuesday, we finish up with the wonderful Mr. Boy George with the Club Culture show here on channelradio.co.uk. Have a wonderful Christmas, everybody. We'll be back in the new year. Don't forget, Friday, 11 o'clock, the Business Bunker Extra Show. See you all soon.
Happy
Bye for
Christmas.
Now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.